Our second scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Exodus, or as some people might think of it, the story that the Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner movie was based on, the Ten Commandments. The story of the Exodus is a long story, even longer than the movie based on it, and one that most people know. But just to catch you up on what has happened so far, the Israelites, who have followed God since basically the beginning, have been living in Egypt for many generations. But the current ruler really doesn't give a hoot about the Israelite man who had been a highly respected advisor to a pharaoh many generations before him. This pharaoh just sees a group of foreign immigrants that threatens to outnumber his own Egyptian people, a group of foreigners only fit for unskilled labor. He passes a cruel and heartless law that all Israelite boys should be killed at birth. But a child named Moses not only survives, but is adopted by no less a figure than an Egyptian princess. Moses by now has grown into a man, returns to live with his own people, met God by a burning bush, and been called to lead the people of God out of slavery and towards the Promised Land. A reading from Exodus, chapters 5, verses 1 through 2, and 7, verses 8 through 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. Afterwards, Moses and his brother Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should heed him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a wonder,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh,' and it will become a snake." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and they became snakes. But Aaron's staff swallowed up theirs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning, as he is going out to the water. Stand by at the riverbank to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that was turned into a snake. Say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you to say, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you have not listened. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. See, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall be turned to blood. The fish in the river shall die, the river itself shall stink, and the Egyptians shall be unable to drink water from the Nile." The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over its rivers, its canals, and its ponds, and all its pools of water, so that they may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout the whole land of Egypt, even in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.'" Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and of his officials, he lifted up the staff and struck the water in the river, and all the water in the river was turned into blood, and the fish in the river died. The river stank so that the Egyptians could not drink its water, and there was blood throughout the whole land of Egypt. But The magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Pharaoh went and into his house, and he did not take even this to heart. This is the word of the Lord. Pharaoh does not know the God of Moses, so Pharaoh really doesn't care what God wants Moses' people to do. Meaningless analogy. I hate coffee. It smells disgusting to me. Recipes tell me that it will enhance the flavor of chocolate in baking, but no, coffee ruins the taste of chocolate. A friend in seminary once ground coffee beans in front of me and made a beautiful caramel macchiato. I took one sip and pushed it away. It tastes like it smells. I hate coffee. Last year, there was a debate at a session meeting over what coffee brand to serve at fellowship hour, and honestly, I tuned it out until people got back to the agenda. Drink what you want, fine, whatever, but coffee brands are meaningless to me, and I just do not care. Pharaoh is about as concerned with the Israelites as I am concerned with coffee. Which is to say, not concerned. Not concerned at all. It's not a great sign when a leader is utterly unconcerned for the welfare of an entire group of people who live in his country. It is not a bold statement to say that leaders should care about their people, whether or not all of those people look like him, or live like him, or pray to the same God, or even speak the same language. Pharaoh's only concern with the Israelites is that they build him cities and that they don't cause trouble. We all have things that we honestly just don't care all that much about, and most of the time that's okay. But if we tune out human rights violations, then we tune out the voice of God. If we tune out the suffering of others, we tune out the voice of God. When Moses and his brother Aaron come to Pharaoh, they don't say, hi, so here's the thing. We need you to abolish slavery overnight, pay us for the labor we did building your cities from the ground up, and then let us leave the country. What they do ask for is for the Israelites to be given 3 days off to worship their God. If Pharaoh comes off as strongly as he does against a long weekend, there's no way he is going to sit idly by and let his entire population of cheap labor up and leave. Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh's court and make their request, and he says, "Who even is your God? I don't know your God. I don't care what your God wants. Give me one good reason." In the 21st century, we wouldn't expect a modern Moses to perform signs and wonders to prove the power of God. We would expect him to make his case using words, maybe a presentation, possibly testifying before a legislative body, perhaps streets full of protesters to show just how many people care. Those weren't really things in his day, but either way, Moses is trying to convince Pharaoh that his God, our God, is powerful, more powerful than Pharaoh, and most importantly, a God who cares deeply and intimately about all people, not just the ones living comfortably, but the ones who are oppressed and mistreated and ignored. But Pharaoh doesn't care. "Oh, your God can do a magic trick. Well, what about my magicians? They can turn water into blood too." Okay, yes, but Pharaoh's magicians cannot turn the blood back into water, which would be not only more impressive, but also more useful, Pharaoh's pride won't be worth anything if he and all his subjects die of thirst. But his heart is still hardened. He does not care. There are times in our lives when we are more concerned with being right than we are with doing what is right. There are times in our lives when we see things as us versus them, instead of all of us versus a problem. We don't want to admit that we have been wrong, even over something trivial, which is what makes it so hard to give a real apology. There are times in our lives when we are more like Pharaoh than Moses. It isn't Charlton Heston we should be identifying with. It's Yul Brynner. At any point, Pharaoh could have said, "Oh, whatever, just go do your thing so you'll leave me alone." It wouldn't exactly have been a royal decree abolishing slavery, but it would have saved a lot of lives. At any point, Pharaoh could have said, "Huh, I didn't know anything about this God of yours, but I guess the Lord is kind of powerful. I'm still going to worship cats, but you can go do your thing." It wouldn't have righted the wrongs that Pharaoh had done, but it would have prevented a lot of heartache. Stubbornness is not a virtue. Refusing to listen to another side is not something that anyone should be proud of. Only listening to people who agree with you is a dangerous bubble to live in. Pharaoh is so convinced that he is right, and that anyone who questions him is wrong, and that anyone he doesn't care about doesn't deserve rights or even basic decency, that his heart has become hardened to the idea of a God who might love the people he has brushed off, the people he has used as slave labor. There are times in our lives when we are like Pharaoh. And there have been times throughout the 2,000-year history of the church, even throughout the 400-year history of the white American church, when no matter how much we want to live into the love of God, we have let our hearts be hardened to the suffering of others and downplayed it or justified it or doubled down against it. We have let our hearts be hardened because otherwise, as my friend Caitlin so elegantly phrased it, otherwise, the pain of acknowledging the evil we've given space to might overwhelm us. With hardened hearts, it doesn't feel like we have many options. It can feel like locusts and murder hornets are preparing to swarm, and like the river is turning to blood before our eyes. But these are not the end days. Our God, who loves the least and the forgotten, will never discard us as scrap. God can take our hearts and unravel them and help us weave them into something new.